Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
In Iran, protests have entered their fourth week and are expanding, and so is the violent crackdown. There are reports that at least 185 people have been killed, including more than a dozen children, in what some are calling a feminist uprising. Schoolgirls have joined the protests, and oil and gas workers too. Over the weekend, a news bulletin on Iran's state-run TV was apparently hacked by supporters of the protests. Nigar Mortazavi is an Iranian-American journalist and the host of the Iran podcast. She's based in Washington, D.C. Nigar, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Nigar, we spoke to you a few weeks ago about the protests. Are you surprised that they're continuing and even growing?
I'm not surprised at the fact that this anger continues because the government hasn't addressed the grievances over the years and also over the course of the past weeks. But I'm very surprised by the courage and bravery that these protesters are showing, women, young girls, and allies that have essentially risked their lives staying on the streets for 4 weeks. Now we're seeing schoolgirls, high schoolers, also joining the protests, either inside their schools or outside, very iconic images. And it's incredible because the crackdown and the violence has also been massive. And in the face of that violence, it's incredible that people are still braving the security forces and continuing their protests.
You mentioned the schoolgirls. It's absolutely fascinating and to watch from the outside. You know, they're inside their schools chanting. They're out in the streets taking off their hijabs. How unprecedented is this?
It's in this shape and form and in this magnitude is pretty unprecedented. I was a little girl in Iran. I went to school in Iran and Tehran, and the mandatory hijab that's imposed on girls from first grade, from 7 years of age, it's something that bothers a lot of girls. It's very humiliating. It's discriminatory, and it bothers you when you're playing, when you're doing sports, when you're trying to study. So it's been something that girls have been slowly pushing back against. But in this magnitude, it's unprecedented. And also the images, because a lot of these girls are filming themselves and then posting the images on social media or being filmed by other citizen reporters, which has given courage to other schoolgirls to also join them. So in a way, it's been a continuation of 4 decades of resistance against this discrimination. But in this magnitude, it's just unprecedented.
Nigar, one of the other things that we've seen that also is a little unprecedented, well, it dates back to the 1979 revolution when it seems like we last saw this, is the oil and gas workers joining in the protests.
It is incredible, yes. The oil and gas strikes were actually one of the final blows to the previous regime and one of the most important steps of the revolution, as historians put it. It really crippled the country and the economy when the oil and gas workers went on strikes. It's one of the main, if not the biggest industry.
And why do you think? What is the oil and gas workers? I mean, to one degree, we can see women and girls. It is very much a feminist uprising. How do the male oil and gas workers feed into this?
Well, it's an intersectional uprising. It is the core of it is this feminist fight for equality and their dignity and their basic rights. But it's also there's a lot of layers of grievances that haven't been addressed by the state over the years, and they're piling up. And every time there's a round of protests, regardless of the spark, all these intersectional communities join in. So there's political grievances, economic, social. There's even pressure on artists, filmmakers, athletes. And the same thing goes for the workers when you talk about the economy.
You know, I want to also, you know, as a reminder, say that this protest movement is not just about women wanting to uncover their heads. Part of this feminist movement is also for some radical social change. Tell us about some of the family laws that they're protesting.
Sure. So the discrimination is not only in the form of this mandatory hijab or the dress code. There's a lot of discrimination in family law, in marriage, in divorce, child custody, inheritance, in work, essentially in women's personal and professional lives. For example, a woman can't travel outside the country without permission from her husband. So there was this case of an athlete in the national team whose husband didn't give her permission to travel for an international competition. So the team traveled and this athlete had to stay behind.
women feel like they're being treated like second-class citizens because of these discriminatory laws.
Just finally, Nagar, some have called for these protests to be referred to as the new Iranian revolution. What do you think of that?
Well, I think it's a feminist revolution, a women's revolution. So regardless of what happens politically, this in a way is a revolution. So it's difficult to predict as far as a political future. Would this be the end of the regime? It's hard to speculate because the state has also used a lot of brutal violence in the past to crack down on protesters. So I don't want to speculate as far as what comes next, but I see it in its own way, a women's revolution that is going to change how women are seen and treated regardless of who rules over the country.
Nagar Mortazavi is an Iranian-American journalist and host of the Iran podcast. Nagar, thank you.
Thank you so much.